Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
The tournament is here. BetOnline is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contest out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up to the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get in on all the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. Hello and welcome to the Believe in OK State podcast. I am Megan Robinson, joined by Justin Southwell. Eve has just ditched us. We don't know where he is. He hasn't responded to texts, calls, emails, Slacks, anything. So if you've seen Eve, let us know.
Put your mug on a milk carton. Can't find this guy.
No, actually, that's not true. I wished him and Donna happy anniversary on Saturday. It was their five-year anniversary. And I said, happy anniversary. And he responded to my comment on Instagram. But I have not heard from him since. So, Eve, please just, like, blink once if you're okay.
Yeah, hopefully that five-year anniversary went all right because, you know, got the wrong color flowers or something. Don just maybe went all that. She's like, Eve, what are you doing? No, I'm just kidding. So, we miss you and just enjoy the time with your family and building your empire, I guess, for now. So
come back
see you soon. Maybe.
I don't know. Come back soon, Eve. We miss you. Justin, I talked about brackets in the Bet Online read. Did you do brackets this year?
Of course I did. I don't want to talk about it, but yeah, of course I did.
How are they doing? Mine are not good. Not good.
I have this thing at work. I have a pretty small department. We have about 9 or 10 people, if you include one of the guys that works in marketing. And normally I would do like an NBA playoff bracket, but I was like, let's do it for March Madness. Got everybody to buy in. So they all filled out their brackets. And I'm thinking this is going to be great, you know? As it is right now, though, I'm 9th out of 10. So not great. But things can turn in the tournament, as you know. So Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final Four, all those points, add up a little bit more with the weight of those games. So I still have a shot. That's the thing. Still have a shot.
Who do you have winning it all?
North Carolina.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
A little bit of maybe a dark horse pick.
Yeah.
I feel like probably the majority of people have picked UConn or Houston.
That's me, Houston.
And yeah, I went with North Carolina. So if they come through and they win, then I got all of y'all.
I did two brackets, one just for fun and like one in my department at work. They're both like just for fun. But one's just kind of like the generic ESPN bracket. And I have Houston winning them both. I don't do the same bracket for if I do multiple, which can get complicated. Yeah,
you got to mix it up.
But it can get complicated because you're like, well, I have UConn and this one and this team and this one, and they're playing each other. So, but honestly, like, I don't even know if I think Houston's going to win. It's just like how I pick. And I'm like, well, I don't think that they beat this team. So like, I don't put that much thought into my brackets.
I was kind of right there with you. I was riding pretty high on Houston until their abysmal showing in the Big 12 championship game against Iowa State. And I was like, I don't know if I can pick them to win the national championship after that.
Why I picked them though, because I was like, you know what? They're going to learn from that and they're going to bounce back. Because like, look at Auburn. Auburn wins the SEC and they're knocked out early.
Meh.
I don't know.
We kind of already knew like Tennessee, like with the regular season championship and the SEC, it's like they're probably the better team.
I'm just here for Oakland. I mean, I know that they are out. They lost in the round of 32. I understand that. But, like, thank you, Oakland, for taking down Kentucky. And I thought that they were going to pull it out over NC State. But I'm also like, I like NC State, too. I don't.
Yeah.
And then yesterday or the other day, Iowa had a scare against West Virginia. I don't know if you watched any of the women's tournament. But it's like that was a kind of a close game there at the end.
Heard a little bit about that. Yeah, playing close. That's basketball for you.
It is, but I hate like
any sport really. It's like
final minute of basketball though can take like 20 minutes. And I'm like, this is so annoying. Just play, stop calling timeouts, stop fouling. I understand why they do it. Again, I'm not dumb, but like, come on, I'm tired. I want to go to bed.
Yeah. I felt a little bit of that with Dayton Fix's finals match, the way that that was like all the blood time stoppage, all the reviews. Longest match ever.
So long.
So just, man.
Yeah. Well, Justin, we had this later in the show, but you just brought up Dayton Fix. We'll bring it from basketball to Oklahoma State sports. Dayton Fix, for those who did not see the news, he lost in the national championship match over the weekend. He became the first four-time runner-up in NCAA history in wrestling, which is just like heartbreaking. God, that was just, oh
yeah, that's tough. That is tough, but he is still just, and yeah, you would have loved to have seen him get that national championship, but man, it was a tough deal. I mean, if anybody watched it, you saw like kind of went on with the headbutting, and you just got to imagine how much more difficult it would be to wrestle a match against a great opponent whenever you've got a huge chunk in your forehead. So
if you guys don't follow wrestling, which I did not until I came to Oklahoma State, and you know what, guys, my mom is a diehard Flyers fan. That's pretty much the only sport she'll watch consistently. That and the Eagles, because she'll sit with my dad and watch the Eagles. But my mom, shout out to my mom, she put on the national championship and watched both Dayton and Dustin compete for a title. So, like, props to my mom, because she cared, because I was hyping them up. So shout out to her watching those. But no, nice. If you didn't see Dayton after his match, he got 8-ish is what I saw online, stitches above his eye. Like, he looked like he left an octagon or a boxing ring. Like, he was so beat up after. But Justin, I learned wrestling by watching it, and I am like learning as I go. Should there have been some sort of penalty or something from that headbutt in like the middle of the match?
Well, it's a pretty subjective thing, because whenever, like, both times that it happened, Dayton was kind of defending his legs with his head, and it wasn't, I don't think it was necessarily intentional where the guy was like rearing back and headbutting him like you would typically think of a headbutt, but he was on the offensive and shooting for the legs, and you know, your hands are your first line of defense, and if he can get through that, you'll want to use your head because it's another extension of your body. But yeah, whenever you hit that same spot two times in a row, like, that's tough. I think that they made the right decision and not calling it like a flagrant foul or whatever. I don't even know what it would be called, where they would give up a point or two or whatever the case is, because it's like, that's just part of wrestling. And unfortunately Dayton was on the end of that, the receiving end of that this time. You know, I feel like I've seen in other cases where the OSU guys on the offensive and kind of doing the same thing, and you wouldn't want that to be called against him. So I understand why they didn't call it.
Yeah. And I was really upset, because like, I'm just a huge Dayton Fix fan. He is one of the nicest people you will ever meet. Yeah. So soft-spoken, like just a genuine human being. And his girlfriend is just as sweet, if not sweeter. And she posted on Twitter after the weekend that was just like how upset she was at the wrestling world and how many boos he was getting and how she couldn't even wear her Dayton Fix pin because of people would just say really mean things to her. And Dayton owned, like, he was like, I guess I became the villain of this weekend. I saw a little bit of his, he was not required to go to media after he lost. However, he did do a press conference and he, you know, a little media scrum after that. He did do press, which, like, props to Dayton. That's incredibly big of you. And he was like, you know, I guess I'm the villain for whatever reason. And his response to the people booing him and saying mean things is like, I don't have room for the hate in my heart. And if you want to live your life by, you know, bringing other people down, then there's a lot more going on with you than there is with me. And like, I'm not going to go down to their level. I have other things to worry about. And I just thought it was such like a bigger person response. And I have nothing but love for Dayton Fix.
Yeah. And it's a great response, and you'd almost kind of expect it from him being where he is in his wrestling career, because he's been like on the world stage and he just handles himself. He's in college, but he handles himself very professionally. And you got to tip your cap to him for anybody that's an Oklahoma State fan or anybody that's a wrestling fan for that matter, for him being able to be humble and to carry himself that way.
A couple more things on wrestling really quickly. Dustin Plott, we talked about Dustin. He finished as a runner-up in the 184-pound weight class. That was his highest finish, and that's after moving up a weight class. But really quickly, finishing out with Dayton Fix's historic career, he finished his time in an orange singlet, ranking total wins were totaled 10th best in school history. He is one of six wrestlers in cowboy history to claim more than 120 wins and less than 10 losses, winning percentage of almost 95%, top 10 in OSU. And he's the first and only five-time All-American in school history. So heck of a career for Dayton. And next up, Olympic trials. He's got to drop 8 pounds in about a month. Not even. Justin, did you freeze? I think for everyone watching, Justin froze. I don't know if he's coming back or not. Justin, are you there?
Yeah.
I'm here. Oh, you froze for a second.
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Not your fault.
I do not miss the days of cutting weight, because that was the worst. And you were talking about Plott moving up to 184. I was like, what's that like? Man, must be nice. Because yeah, between my junior and senior year of high school, for whatever reason, I decided to stay at 130, and I probably could have been wrestling at 152 my senior year. So I did not enjoy that at all. So
did you eat your senior year?
You know, it was pretty bad. Like down, like at the lowest point, I would probably eat like an apple for lunch, and then that was it.
That's like my pre-lunch snack.
I don't know how I did it, because now I'm just like, I'll do intermittent fasting from time to time. Mm-mm. And then I'm like, this isn't too bad. But if I try to work out on an empty stomach, I'm like, ugh, this is the worst. How did I do this all the time? I'd go through 2-3 hour wrestling sessions in sweats.
No. Mm. Well, Dayton and Dustin, we are excited for you guys. Excited to see what happens in the Olympic trials. They are, if you think the 18th through the 20th of April, they are mid to late April. So we're excited to see that. But Justin, should we talk football? Because guess what started this week? Spring practices.
I love football. Let's talk about football.
We love football. Yeah.
Spring football. It's back.
Spring football kicked off today, or earlier this week, I should say. Kicked off today because we're recording on Tuesday. But by the time this airs, we'll be headed into our second practice. Not too much to talk about, just the first time they're getting their helmets on, going through the motions. Gundy, he mentioned this. I mean, we've talked about last year how we lost so many people, so much turnover. There were 28 new players last year compared to only 12 new players this year, which is huge for this team. Like, I love that. And Gundy also mentioned that Bowman, you know, the schemes aren't changing too much. There shouldn't be anything new to really, quote unquote, learn on offense. But Bowman can get more reps now. And hopefully, because he will be QB1, as we all suspect, he'll get more reps with the ones throughout practice for the next 5 weeks of spring ball and then into summer camp. And we'll know, okay, this is QB1. And Gundy loves experience. He said, look what we did with Whedon, who was 28 when he was a starter here. So sounds like Alan Bowman will be the guy for anybody who might be thinking otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the experience that you can get in college football is just so valuable, especially whenever you're able to maintain some continuity in today's day and age, because it seems like you're turning over your roster, you're putting together a new team every year, every semester in some cases. So the fact that we have all these guys returning, not too many new guys, especially in the spring, whenever you know, that's the time to learn and make mistakes and to continue to get those repetitions in. Well, whenever you're not new to this, you're not worrying about so many of those mistakes, and you can progress a lot more than you would if you were just getting started. So, you know, this is a really fun, I think, time, especially whenever you're, like you said, Meg, getting their helmets on and things like that. Like, that is, there's a nice gap between, you know, the end of the year, December, January, and then you go through all the winter workouts, you go through spring break. So you have the grind time, and then you get a little bit of rest. And then whenever you come back, it's like a brand new, fresh start. You get to, you know, get fitted for your helmet, shoulder pads, all this stuff, and you're getting back into the actual football stuff. So this is a fun time. And yeah, I'm really excited for all the guys that are coming back, and then the leadership that we're going to see out of these guys for the guys that have been there, which is nearly everybody.
Yeah. Sticking with the guys coming back, Ollie Gordon also spoke to the media, and he said the team wanted to stay together and compete, and he appreciates everyone coming back who could have declared. Guys, we have 5th, 6th, and 7th year players on our roster this season. And, you know, he talked about, you know, I think someone asked him about what role he sort of plays in recruiting people to Oklahoma State. And it's like, you know, for the offensive line, I can say like, hey, do you want to block for a good running back? I'm here. I got you. For running backs, it's like, hey, do you want to be blocked by this awesome offensive line? Do you want to play for these coaches who are incredible at developing talent in the running back room? And that's where the role he played. But on the offensive line, they're all back. And Joe Mahalski also spoke to the media today. The whole O-line's returning. He said that they didn't really sit down and have a conversation. It was never like this team meeting, like, do you all to come back? But it was just sort of a domino effect. And we're like, why would we not want to come back? You don't get this opportunity. You don't get to play with these people. It's so rare. And I never really thought about it, but it's so rare to play with a team for more than a year or two in college because of people declaring for the draft, people graduating. Now with the transfer portal, you might only get one season. So Right. They're just like, why would we not do this and take advantage of this for as long as we can?
You love to see it. This is the dream. Yeah, exactly that. Not very many people get to experience that. And if you were to ask people if they could experience it again, 100%. Like, everybody wants to do that again. Like, let's run it back. Let's run it back with the guys. So I'm glad they get a chance to do it. Take advantage of it.
Of course, I need to talk about my favorite cowboy, Nick Martin. He spoke today, and I just am so impressed by this kid's mindset and his mentality going into the season. He brought up a really good point that last year, last offseason, spring ball, they did not have an identity. They had 28 new players. Even throughout this season, there was a lot of question marks of who is the real Oklahoma State. Is it the team that lost to South Alabama and Iowa State, or is it the team that won Bedlam and made it to a Big 12 championship? Nick said that they have an identity now. They know what type of team they are, and they're not trying to find themselves anymore, so they can build on that. And he also, I think that he's really come into his own in this offseason, because last year he was a little unsure of himself the first two games. And he's like, I have that experience. I know what to expect on the field. It was more getting a feel for it last year. By game 3 or 4, he really started to believe I can do this now. So I just think that we might see a whole other level of Nick Martin this season. And his advice is watch as much tape and take as many notes as possible and make as many mistakes as possible, because that's how you learn.
Yeah. And like, that's a natural just progression through college football is getting the experience of playing in games. And for a lot of people, I mean, we talk about it with Gundy has always said with quarterbacks, it's like 15 games. It's this magical number. You get 15 games of experience and things start clicking for you. For other positions, it might not take 15 games, but it's pretty rare that for a linebacker, it only takes 2 or 3 games for Nick Martin. And he used the rest of that year to build up that experience. And he's coming into this year with all of that in his back pocket. And he just gets to go out and fly around and make plays. We have another year of the Nardo defense. He's playing with people that he's familiar with, that he can trust. So I'm really excited, more so for the defensive side of the ball, because of where they ranked last year and what the potential can be for this year.
Yeah. I mean, Justin, you talked about the learning and the 15 games and kind of like being from a young guy to a veteran, and Nick acknowledged, he's like, I feel like I went from being the new guy on the team or the young gun to a veteran overnight. And you saw that last season with, you know, Ollie Gordon becoming Ollie Gordon, Nick Martin becoming Nick Martin, and just seeing the other player, like Alan Bowman becoming QB1. Rashad Owens kind of emerged last season as well. So it's just really exciting that I don't think we're going to have maybe an emergence of stars, but like they're going to continue to build on that. And there's just a difference when you have that confidence. And Nick also said that he heard a quote in the Kanye documentary that really stuck with him: no matter how good you are, always doubt yourself. And that's not coming from a self-deprecating, I'm not good enough imposter syndrome place. It's no matter how good you are, continue to say, how can I be better? And if that's the mindset that Nick is bringing to this team, and that's the mindset he's putting on other teammates, saying, hey, you're good, but how much better can you be? Like, just imagine what that can do for a locker room.
It's exciting. It's exciting to think about.
It's exciting. And I'm just excited to see Nick Martin out there on Saturdays and then Sundays in a year or two, you know?
That's true. Get your Nick Martin jerseys.
Oh, nice. I'll get one in every color, home, away, alt white. But no, really. I mean, I know it's only the first day of spring practice, but just seeing the few clips on social media of like them out in Sherman E. Smith Center, I'm like, guys, it's almost time.
Let's go. Getting excited.
I'm so excited. I'm going to practice on Thursday. So when this airs today, I'll be there Thursday. So I'll see what intel I can find out for you, or what information. Probably nothing exciting. You know, I'm not.
Yeah. But I mean, just think about the difference from, yeah, this time. We've kind of already alluded to it, but the difference between last year and this year, the spring not having an identity, and this year we already know what that is. And just to be able to have the experience last year, this entire offseason, winter, spring, summer football, and to be able to use that and roll into next year. I don't even know how many teams really ever get a chance to do that, but especially in today's college football, one team that comes to mind immediately is maybe last year's Michigan team, and look what they did. So
also, I don't have the answer to this question. I would need to look it up, but I was just thinking, how many players on last year's team were also on the 2021 team that made it Big 12 championship? And I say that because, there were obviously a handful, like basically the whole offensive line, Brennan Presley, Colin Oliver were all on that team. But I say that because guys who are now impact players and who are the playmakers, the Ollie Gordons, he wasn't on that team. I think Rashad was, but he was not a starter like he is now. It hits different when you play that game and you lose. So I feel like to have guys where you have a big turnover in the roster heading into 23, guys who did not play in that 2021 loss to Baylor. And now it's like that losing pain sucks. Losing in the Big 12 championship sucks. So to have this core group back, 21 of 22 starters back, knowing what it takes to get there, knowing how it feels to lose that game, if you channel that and use it to something good, like how far can that take you? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And you already know, you've heard it so many times that the games are won in the off season, and they have already been in that position to know what it takes to get to the title game. So they have that, and then they can add on to it for what it will take to win the title.
Gundy shouted out Brandon Whedon and how he was mature and when he was here and what he brought to this team. And I wonder if he was shouting out Whedon because Whedon was on his mind, because OSU Athletics announced their Hall of Honor class for 2024. Lauren Bay, David Edwards, Ross Flood, Charles Howell III, James Wadley, Brandon Whedon, and of course the 1965 men's track and field relay team of Dave Perry, John Perry, Jim Metcalf, and Tom Von Rudin. Yeah, Blackman named last year. Seems only fitting that Whedon was named this year. How do you feel, Justin? Your former teammate, your former QB1.
Yeah, I love it. I had to text him. Congratulations. I was just like super hyped for him. And he's absolutely deserved. And couldn't happen to a better person, better representative for Oklahoma State football. Brandon Whedon is the man.
Yeah. Well, should we go over some of his stats? He was 23-3 as a starter, led Oklahoma State to their first 11-win season in 2010, then their first 12-win season in 2011. He ranked in the top three nationally in passing yards per game in 2010 and 2011. He left Oklahoma State with nearly every major school passing record. Guys, his 2011 stats: second in the nation with 4,727 total passing yards, second in the nation with 363.62 passing yards per game, third in the nation with 355.77 total offense yards per game, and 37 touchdown passes, ranked fourth in the nation. He was good at the football.
Amazing. So amazing. Good. Snubbed for the Heisman. He was great. Just great. Look at those statistics. Unbelievable.
Who won the Heisman that year?
RG3.
Okay. I was like,
who got smoked in Boone Pickens Stadium? Did Brandon Whedon never get smoked? No, because he's so good.
Also, by the way, Whedon, as I mentioned, was 28 when he was here playing at Oklahoma State. I mean, Alan Bowman's pushing that age, seventh year player. Not really, but you know, he's approaching his mid-20s. But Brandon Whedon played baseball, professional baseball before. So the kid's just, I mean, the kid, he's older than I am, but
I said it, he's the man.
The man is just an all-around athlete who I feel just kind of gets, like, I don't want to say forgotten. But like when you're talking, you know, outside of the Oklahoma State circles, I feel like he's not talked about the way that other quarterbacks are.
I guess that makes sense in other circles. Definitely not OSU.
No, not OSU at all.
But yeah, if you're talking about outside circles, I guess, yeah, that's what a shame, you know, because I feel like that's kind of a common thing. Like, you know, people talk about the best wide receiver in college football, and of course the OSU fans are going to jump in, Justin Blackman, he's the GOAT. And then I wonder how many people outside of the OSU circles think about him in that same light. You know, I feel like it's always Larry Fitzgerald, Randy Moss, and right. I mean, that makes, like, those are great receivers, but I mean, give us the respect. What's going on? It's like outside of the OSU circles, we need to promote the brand a little bit more, keep winning those games, winning championships, and that'll change.
And this is absolutely no shade to Justin Blackman at all, but I think it's easier for people to shout out Randy Moss or a Larry Fitzgerald of the world. Or, you know, more recently, you look at a Devontae Smith who just won the Heisman a couple of years ago because they were in the NFL. Like Randy Moss is a Hall of Famer in the NFL. Larry Fitzgerald's about to be a Hall of Famer in, or he is he in the Hall of Fame in the NFL? I can't remember when he retired, but he's definitely Hall of Fame caliber. I think
I think he was a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I think he was. I can't. I have no concept of like what time or what year it is.
No, it's all changed. Yeah, it's all. It's.
But you know my point, like because people heard their name sure. longer, it's easy to throw them out. But like, okay, you put up Justin Blackman's numbers. I'm like, did Larry Fitzgerald win the Politikoff twice? I don't think so. I don't think so. So that's why I think it's like if people are constantly at the top of mind because of which, like, we're not talking NFL receivers, we're talking college football receivers. And
it's true.
I would say put Blackman.
Yeah. That's one of the things. It's just, that's just the nature of the beast. You know, you gotta have success at that next level to be top of mind for a lot of fans. And, it's just the way it is. So,
Justin, I'm going to put you on the spot because, you were teammates with him. What is your favorite Whedon story from your time with Cowboy football?
My favorite Whedon story. Gosh, I don't know. I don't have like anything crazy. I mean, we're talking about somebody who you just listed off all of those stats and how great he was. I was like on the opposite end of the spectrum for that team. So I was just happy to be in the same locker room with the guy. So one quick story, I guess, was it was probably around this time in spring football. Of course, you know, Oklahoma, it can be super windy. And, you know, maybe not the best for, we didn't have the indoor facility back then. So Whedon is absolutely throwing darts and, trying to cut through the wind. Sometimes it worked. Sometimes it didn't. Okay. So running some routes, got lined up and I had Whedon as my quarterback for this one. And I had like a 10 or 12 yard out route. He launches it and it was thrown pretty well. I wish I were taller. I probably would have come down with it, but it sailed a little bit and I chalked that up to the wind. Okay. Well, probably later in the spring, it's not like I got to go up with Whedon all the time, but I had that in the back of my mind, like every time we got in. So I get to go back in for this route. I think it was like the backside was called Chicago. So I kind of ran like a 10 yard in dig and tried to find green grass between the linebacker and safety, find the zone, settle in, or, you know, cut across based on the coverage. So sat down in a perfect zone and everything. And I see it coming toward me. And for whatever reason, I thought, oh man, like Whedon's throwing, it's going to be, might be a little bit high. So I jumped up and I did not need to jump at all. And it completely threw off everything, the timing, me trying to catch it. And I missed it. And I just felt so bad because I was like, I screwed this up for myself because, you know, how many chances do you get at something like this? And then two for Whedon because, you know, I don't want any balls on the turf and this is my fault. So maybe not the best story, the best Whedon story because it's me failing. But that's one that it comes to mind quite often. And, you know, Whedon, if you're listening to this, he's like, gosh, yeah, I remember that play. Freaking Southwell. Gosh, man, catch the ball. But no, it's all good. He just every conversation, you know, that we had, he's always a super nice guy. And we just had a lot of fun. Like I said, he's 28. And I feel like a lot of people gave him a lot of crap for his age. I was never one of those guys. I was just kind of like, who cares? Like, this is awesome that you're over here leading our team. And of course it led to major success. So I was all about it. I looked up to him from day one. So
I don't know how many times you and Eve have told the story of the 2011 reunion on the field where Whedon threw one more touchdown pass to Blackman in the end zone during that halftime celebration for you guys. You've told it at least two or three times on this show for sure, but I think that just shows what both of them mean to Oklahoma State. But just in your words, Justin, what do you think Brandon Whedon means to OSU?
Well, he's the ambassador for the program, for the success that OSU fans desire and feel like we deserve. He made that happen for us, and what he was able to do in his time at quarterback. He led us to the first 11-win season in school history. He led us to the first 12-win season in school history. He led us to a Big 12 championship, led us to a Bedlam win, a Fiesta Bowl win against Stanford with the number one draft pick and Andrew Luck leading that team, along with a lot of other pros on that team. And he literally brought OSU to the next level based on his play. And he did it in a humbling way. He's just a guy that very similar to Dayton Fix, very professional, very humble. And that's, I think that all the OSU fans, if we were that talented, if we could be in that position, this is how we would imagine we would handle the situation. And Whedon did all of that. And he's just such a great ambassador for the program, for Oklahoma State in general. And, you got to tip your hat to him for everything that he's done, but also the way that he handles himself. And I think that that's just how much appreciation I have for him because of the way he did everything right.
Quick fact check. I did look this up. Larry Fitzgerald will be eligible for the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2026. So he is not in it. I'm not crazy in thinking that he's not in it. Yeah.
So he retired in 21.
So according to the internet, that is my source right now, the internet, is that on February 16th, 22, despite not officially stating that he was retiring, Fitzgerald admitted he was not planning on returning to play in the NFL. He did sign with the Cardinals for a 1-year contract in January 2020. He did play in 2020, and then he didn't officially retire until 22 after taking 21 off. So am I crazy? Did he? But yeah, so
the timing's all off. We just knew it. But he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
So that's okay. But he's not there yet. So anyone who's like, Meg's dumb. Okay. No, I'm not completely wrong. And I do check my facts. I do my own research, guys. I'm trying my best.
And then, one more thing about Whedon, I guess. I gave him all this praise about being humble and all of that. But behind the scenes, when it comes to competition and wanting to be the best, this guy is an animal. He will back it up in his play. He'll trash talk if he needs to, it didn't happen very often, because how are you going to talk crap? How are you going to talk crap against a guy that's completely picking you apart? Right. So he just didn't have a need to do that all the time, but yeah, he'd let you know if he needed to. So yeah, you just got to love one for a guy that's so competitive, to be able to switch it off whenever he needs to address the media and to be that ambassador for the fans, because some guys just don't know how to flip the switch off. And it's whoa, calm down, buddy. So yeah, he's just complete professional on all fronts. So
Justin, some guys who I hope bring their competitive edge this weekend are the Cowboys that are going to be participating in the first ever Big 12 Conference Pro Day at the Star in Frisco. That is going to be from March 27th until the 30th. There are 137 prospects from the Big 12 schools participating, schools currently in the conference. So there's no OU, no Texas in this pro day, although they are still in the Big 12, they will not be. But none of the new schools, because they're technically still in their old conferences. So Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, and Colorado are also not there. But the other, 12 teams? Yeah, if you subtract OU and Texas, there's 12 teams in the conference currently. Yeah. So 137 players. Workouts will be on Thursday and Saturday. They are open to the public. If you are in the Dallas area, go down to the Star, check it out. Sponsored by Noble, who also sponsored the NFL Combine. The partnership will ensure experience similar to the Combine, and it will feature Zebra Technologies, the official real-time location solutions provider of the NFL. Zebra generates data for NFL Next Gen Stats platforms and will apply the same tracking technology to spotlight player performance. Woo! And workouts are Thursday, as I said, Thursday and Saturday from 7 a.m. until 5 p.m. You can Google Big 12 Pro Day and get the full list of what position groups go when, who is participating from each school. But I'll tell you who's going to be there. More guys from Oklahoma State will be there than I realized. I don't think I saw a lot of like official announcements of guys declaring. But
which is okay. It's okay, guys. Like, we don't need to announce everything. So we appreciate it.
But I saw somebody say that. No, I saw somebody, and this wasn't about Oklahoma State. It was just in general. Like, do we really need guys to be like, I'm going in the draft. Just do it. Like, you don't need to take a whole thing. But then someone else brought up the point, like, they work their whole lives for this. Let them have their moment. Let them just, like, give an announcement, thank the fans. I don't know, Justin, you disagree. I can see it on your face.
No, I mean, that's a great point. That's a great counterpoint. I'm fine with that.
Like, how is it any different than like, if you get a new job and you're like, life update, I'm president of my company, you know?
I guess it's not.
You know, it's like,
I don't have an argument against it.
There are some people where it's like, if you're a junior, are you coming back? Are you not coming back? I don't know what you're doing. I need you to announce this so I can be aware. But
or just show up. Just show up in O-State gear. We'll cheer for you. Yeah?
You could do that as well. But the guys from Oklahoma State who will be participating in this pro day this weekend are Elijah Collins, Arlen Bruce, Leon Johnson, Braden Cassidy, Josiah Johnson, Anthony Goodlow, Nathan Latu, Xavier Benson, Zeke Zaragoza, and Alex Hale. So I hope, I hope they all ball out, but I just hope that Leon Johnson in particular does extra well and like impresses people. Because he's got the build. He had a good season. He gave up a red shirt season to be there for his teammate. So I'm like, please just like get signed as an undrafted free agent or something. Just ball out at pro day. That's all I want.
Yeah, man. That'd be awesome. I was trying to think of where I could envision him. And I kind of want to see, for whatever reason, I'm like hopping on this like Chargers bandwagon because of Harbaugh. I'm like, that'd be kind of cool. See him out there in LA with the Chargers and a big tall receiver out there on the for Justin Herbert. So yeah, let's do that.
You know who else needs a big tall receiver for a quarterback who will be named at a later date?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe the Patriots. Maybe
That's it. They need a lot of help. They need a lot of things. But you know, Jerron Mayo, sign Leon Johnson. You know, we need some size. We're used to, I think, like our top receiver Kendrick Bourne, but then we have like DeMario Douglas, who's like 5'8". Like, can we get a guy with some size, please? I mean,
hey, nothing wrong with the 5'8" guys.
No, I know, but you need, and like, he actually had some really good plays, but I'm like, we need someone taller, please. No offense. No,
that's a staple for the Patriots for sure. Just get short receivers out there making the slot position, just like a video game.
I'm all for the slot receiver, but then when the Patriots were in their slot receiver glory, they also had like Gronk as a tight end. So they got that size elsewhere.
Aaron Hernandez, Randy Moss on the outside.
Yeah.
So yeah, they had, I mean, Tom Brady at quarterback. That helps a little bit.
It's fine. We're going to get Jaden Daniels or someone this year. It'll be great. I don't know. But yeah, well, good luck to all of the former Cowboys who are forever part of the Cowboy family competing or participating in the Combine this weekend. I'm excited to see how it all plays out. We'll talk about more about it next week when we have actual information, but I don't know. I'm excited to see the response from scouts and fans and just what people say about the effectiveness of doing a bigger one day so you can get hopefully more scouts there, or 2 days, I guess, as opposed to trying to figure out what school you're going to go to when some of those pro days overlap.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Noble, which is also, I think, part of the Tom Brady brand now.
It is.
So
it is.
Maybe they'll see Tom Brady there. Probably not.
BRB, leaving for Dallas. Just kidding. But yeah. Thank you all for listening to this episode of the Believe in OK State podcast presented by Bet Online. You know what to do. Like, share, subscribe, follow, rate, review, all of the things. Eve, if you hear this, call us. We miss you. We miss you. Come back. Yeah.
Come on, man.
Well, he's Justin. I'm Meg. Go Pokes.
Go Pokes.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.